Good morning, everybody. Are you a follower of Jesus this morning? If you're a follower of Jesus, then welcome to the great adventure of faith. Or maybe this morning, right now, you're actually thinking about becoming a follower of Jesus. If that's you, then the good news is Jesus says, "Come to me just as you are." Whatever your circumstances, even if your life is a mess, come to me. Don't let anything get in the way. Are you already a Christian? Then the even better news is that Jesus loves you too much to leave you unchanged in your mess. So if your life feels like a tangled ball of string this morning, then get ready. He has plans for you, and he is the master untangler of broken lives. You might not think that you can change much, but he knows better. He knows you. He knows you better than you know you. He is God, after all. You know, the one who made the universe and stuff. He put you together. He knows your past. He knows where you're damaged and how the damage was caused. He remembers your pain, your traumatic experiences, and all of that has caused him pain. He comes to give you life, and his life will transform you if you let it. Welcome to the big adventure. We are being set free. When we invite Jesus to rule in our hearts, then our hearts are made new. But there's a problem. Our brains, our minds, have not been made new. We've got brand new hearts, good hearts, but old corrupt brains. Our brains are in for a steep learning curve. Our brains are full of a lifetime's junk that needs to be sifted through and in parts overwritten so that truth replaces falsehood. Let's say that our lives are like a computer. We've given ourselves to a new programmer. The hardware remains the same, but we desperately need reprogramming with new software. Welcome to the big adventure. As John Eldridge often says, things are not what they seem. Actually, when we come to have faith in Christ, just about everything is different to what we previously thought. We start to see God differently. We see ourselves differently. We see our circumstances differently. And we see the world around us differently. We start to see God's loving and creative fingerprints over so much in creation all around us. We begin to see ourselves differently too. We discover that far from being insignificant in a meaningless universe, we are infinitely valuable. We begin to see our circumstances from God's point of view too. And we begin to see other people as God sees them, people who are worth loving, no matter what their faults. Welcome to the big adventure. Can we have the first slide, Sarah? Thanks. The Bible calls this renewing our minds, seeing all of life from God's point of view, which of course is the true point of view. But God doesn't force this on us. He doesn't brainwash us with manipulative or coercive techniques. Instead, he works with us. It's a process. And we are being changed, as the scripture says, from one degree of glory to another. This is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I like the second verse there in the New Living Translation, where it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, what is good and pleasing and perfect. So there it is. God always, always respects our free will. That is his gift to us. He never, never forces his will on us. But the Apostle Paul urges us, encourages us, pleads with us to give all of ourselves to God, including our minds, our brains, and let God transform us by changing the way we think. As we give our brains and minds over to God, what we're actually doing is saying, I want to see all of life from your point of view. I want to get rid of all lies and all wrong ways of thinking about you, about myself, and about other people. I want to agree with you about, well, everything. We're to renew our minds. And this process requires our active participation. It's not like sitting in the dentist chair and just saying, okay, doc, go for it. We've got a big part to play in the renewing of our minds. And we have access to the Spirit of God to work with us in the transformation. Now, a group of people from our church have just begun studying a course written by Mercy UK. That's the front cover of the booklet. It's called Keys to Freedom. And it's all about entering into the freedom that Jesus desires for each one of us. And the whole thing of renewing our minds is so foundational, it gets a whole session devoted to it early on. Now, you might be sitting thinking, is this for real? I mean, can you teach old dogs new tricks? Well, scientific evidence also says, yes, you can. Neuroscience talks about neuroplasticity. Everybody say that after three. One, two, three. Neuroplasticity. Well done. Neuroplasticity is the brain's ability to form new superconductive pathways and over time to allow older disused pathways to degenerate and disappear. A young child's brain has a high degree of plasticity. It's very plastic. That's why they can learn language and new skills relatively easily, because there aren't any previous rigid ways of thinking that offer resistance to a new way of thinking. But older people too can learn a new language or a musical instrument. It's just hard, very hard. It takes a lot of discipline, focus, and effort. Think of it this way. If you drive a heavy 4x4 over a soggy, muddy field, you're going to leave ruts. And next time you need to cross the field, it's easier to follow the same ruts you made before. And after several trips, the ruts are quite deep and you can actually let go of the steering wheel and the ruts will take over. This is what happens when, especially during childhood, we learn to understand ourselves and other people and our circumstances, and how we respond in certain ways. We develop coping strategies, defense mechanisms. Neil Anderson uses the example of three brothers who, as children, learn to cope with a father who starts drinking heavily, coming home late at night, being violent, liable to lash out at their mother and at them. Three brothers. The oldest son decides to stand up to his dad and he fights back, often leaving them both wounded. The middle son adopts a befriending, accommodating strategy And when his dad comes home, he starts rushing around the house, bringing dad his slippers and being super nice to try and avoid a beating. The younger son just runs and hides when he hears his dad come home. Anderson says that later in life, when these three brothers meet a bully or a threat, most likely they will default to the defense mechanism or coping strategy they learned as a child. Confront, accommodate, or flee. The problem with our coping strategies is that most times they are not Christ-like. Jesus didn't use violence to counter violence. Jesus didn't become a chameleon to please the demands of others. Jesus didn't flee from those who disagreed with him, though he carefully chose when and where and how to take a stand. Neuroplasticity, everybody say that after three, one, two, three. Neuroplasticity tells us that it is possible to steer the 4x4 of our life out of old ruts and make new paths. It won't be easy to change our default way of thinking, to change our coping strategies, but it is possible. And if we stop using the old coping strategies, then over time, they will begin to disintegrate. Let's step back a bit and see the broader picture. The Mercy UK course tells us that it's helpful to see our lives like a tree. The branches are all our visible behaviours, both good and bad. The trunk is our belief system, our worldview, how we see and understand ourselves in the world around us. So our behaviour, the branches, grows out and reflects our central beliefs. In fact, as Neil Anderson says, we will never be able to consistently behave in a way that contradicts our core beliefs. And the roots are what feed into our belief system. That's our history, our background, our childhoods, good and bad events, including early emotional traumatic experiences. The biblical model of renewing our minds isn't just interested in the branches. It goes beyond simply behavior modification. It even goes beyond challenging and changing our core beliefs. It goes right back to the roots. You see, most of us have unhealthy roots going right back into our childhoods. And unless we can stop these unhealthy roots feeding into our core beliefs, they will continue to suck up lies like poison, affecting our thinking and causing unhealthy branches to bear bad fruit. With the Holy Spirit helping us to replace falsehood with truth, we can begin to undo the lies we've believed, even from our early development, that would otherwise continue to feed into our belief system and prevent change. So, with healthy roots and a healthy belief system, we can be assured that our behavior is likely to be consistent with the truth, full of love, peace, joy, and godliness. Does this really work? Well, yes, it does. There are countless testimonies of people who have put these principles into practice and discovered a different way of living. Is it easy? As they say, no pain, no gain. And that's where our active participation comes in. But of course, it's worth it. Well, how do you do it? Hang on a bit and we'll get to that. You see, here's the thing. In the renewing of our minds, we don't just need new information. We need transformation. Sure, we want truth to replace the lies we've believed. But we don't just want head knowledge. We want to believe with both our heads and our hearts so that our soul finds freedom in the truth. Good roots will draw up good nutrients from the truth about God and from God. But bad roots are sucking up toxins and pus from the fallen world around us and our own toxic past. Paul says in Philippians, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So in the renewing of our minds, we need not only to let good roots draw up good things, we need to stop the flow of bad stuff from bad roots. If we feed our minds on junk, like watching some of the soaps, or a diet of porn, or dodgy teachers of the weird and wonderful on YouTube, then our belief system is polluted with junk. And as they say, junk in, junk out. When we reprogram a computer, the last thing we want to do is upload a virus. So, be careful what you access. Where do we find truth? Jesus said, "I am the truth." So we look to him. The Holy Spirit leads us into all the truth. So we need his help. The Bible is God's chosen authoritative means of communicating spiritual truth. So we look to the Bible, which always points to Jesus as the supreme revelation of what God is like. And we look to the Holy Spirit to help us understand what the Bible says is the truth about God, about ourselves, about our circumstances. So as we approach the Bible, we need to renew our minds. Imagine again that you're like a computer and you want to connect up to the Bible. So as you connect, you receive a message. "Welcome. Your brain software is out of date. A new update is available. Do you wish to proceed?" And then comes the warning. "Continuing to run your brain on outdated software can cause you to malfunction or crash. Your current software contains bugs and security risks. Would you like to proceed? Yes or no?" So we say yes. "Okay, buckle up. Engage divine energy for full access to update." In other words, ask the Holy Spirit to come and lead you into all the truth. "Now choose book, chapter and verse." And did you know this? New updates are available to you every day. This is a process, being sanctified in the truth. The Holy Spirit brings truth alive to us in a now personal way. Reading the Bible, it's a natural way to start a conversation with God. Reading it, thinking about it, talking to God about what you read. But remember, we want transformation, not just information. We want truth in mind and heart, not mind only. So we must read and want to change at the same time. In the letter of James, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word and who does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." We need this. All of us need this. Because all of us start out with a whole host of wrong ideas about God, about ourselves, or just about everything. So let's get to it. Just how do we renew our minds? Is reading the Bible all there is to it? Or do we just read a chunk every day and hope that we absorb it? They're both the Keys to Freedom course and the Freedom in Christ course recommend a similar approach to renewing our minds, especially when it comes to changing those wrong core beliefs in our central belief system that are having a negative effect on us. This morning, I want to tell you about ways I've used this approach myself. I've been a Christian for over 40 years, but for most of that time, I never realized that significant change was possible. Early on, I thought that Christian maturity was all about head knowledge. Head knowledge. At the same time, I believed the lie that there were things about me, about my character, that would never change. You know, that is a toxic combination. Yeah. Say it again. Believing that Christian maturity is just about head knowledge, and at the same time thinking that there are things about yourself that will never change. Let's go back to that picture of the tree. Quite early in my life, I experienced what you'd call a significant trauma. And it's true that most often the worst damage done through a traumatic event is through the lie or the lies that you believe about yourself as a result. And I can trace a whole bundle of lies back to that event, like a big bad root with many divided subroots, sucking poison into my belief system. As Anna said last week, if you want to know what lies you believe about yourself, you only have to listen to the words you say quietly to yourself or think to yourself when you're feeling low. For me, it was things like this. If people knew what I'm really like, they would hate me. It's only natural that I should live in fear of others, but pretend I'm okay. The only way people will accept me and like me is if I perform well and consistently. They'll maybe accept me because of what I can do, but never because of who I am. And then those terrible words, I hate myself, I hate my life. And many times I'd find myself thinking and saying that. For you, those lies may be different. You might say things like, I'm stupid, I always get things wrong, always make mistakes, I'll never amount to anything. I'm ugly. No one could ever love me the way I look. The only way to be happy and impress is to have lots of money and stuff. So we need to identify the lies that we've believed. Just want to say, sometimes the way that we see ourselves and see God is so distorted that we need to ask God's help to understand just how we came to believe the lies in the first place. Sometimes the traumas that opened us up to deception lie buried deeply in our memories. Sometimes we need to ask God to help us to remember them, even though that brings pain, because there are times we need to ask God for healing of those painful experiences. And if praying about this by yourself doesn't bring a breakthrough, then sometimes it's right to pray with another wise Christian. That can be a good idea. So we need to realize and identify the lies that we've believed. And of course, the next thing we want to find out, what does God say is the truth? What we need is a verse or a passage of scripture that contradicts the lie and expresses the truth. Now, how do we do that? Well, sometimes in our regular Bible reading, as we buckle up and engage divine energy, we might realize that the truth has just popped up off the page at us. It's something that God is speaking in that moment to us, something we need to hold on to. Sometimes it happens that way. But other times we actually need to do some work and search in the Bible for a verse of scripture. And I think maybe you were doing that, Donna, just now on the floor, looking at the back of a study Bible, looking at a concordance, because if you know a word, then it will give you all the verses in the Bible that contain that word. That's a concordance. Not in the back of every Bible, but a study Bible normally has one. But if you've got a Bible app on your phone or tablet, Often there's a search function, and you can actually specify just to look in the book you're in, or maybe the Old Testament, New Testament, or the whole Bible, and it will pull up all the verses with that word in. So, for example, if you struggle with anxiety, you could look up the word anxiety, or anxious, or fear, or afraid, or even the opposites, like peace. And I'm told, I've never done this myself, but if you're online, there's a website called BibleGateway.com, and I think they have a search function as well. Having identified the lie you believe and the truth you know is what God says, you are now ready to create a declaration. A declaration. And a declaration looks something like this. And this isn't a formula. You can vary it, but basically it's something like this. I renounce or reject the lie that, dot, 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 you insert the lie that you know you've believed, and I announce or declare the truth, and then, again, it's not a formula. You could then put the verse that you've identified, or you could start writing what the verse means in your own words. And if you actually quote the verse, you know, when Jesus quoted the Old Testament, he often started by saying, it is written. You can do that as well if you want to. When Jesus quoted and saying, it is written, those words kind of somehow they point to the authority that Scripture has. It is written. Something that the Keys to Freedom course and the Freedom in Christ course both agree on is this. You need to declare this truth aloud every day. And so it's called a daily declaration. You need to speak it out. Your ears need to hear your mouth speaking. And the reason is we can't fight thoughts with thoughts. We have to fight thoughts with words. This is really important. As soon as you begin to speak with your mouth, even if you whisper, it cuts straight across the flow of your own negative self-talk. There is power in the words you speak. So it's not good enough just to read your declaration without speaking it out, especially if you're feeling low. Your feelings will drag you down. Speak the declarations out, and soon your feelings will begin to catch up. Now, as I said, many lies we believe are interconnected, like a big root with many subroots. Once you believe one lie, others swiftly follow on. Here are some that I've believed. Maybe you can see how they link to one another. I am worthless. I'm not worth loving. If people knew what I'm really like, they would hate me. People will only accept me if I can earn their respect through my achievements and the things I do. They will never accept me for being just who I am. My situation is hopeless. I will be happiest if I maintain a safe distance from people and isolate myself as much as possible. I can expect rejection. That's normal for me. And now I want to show you how I've started to overcome these lies in my life. So here are six of my daily declarations. I renounce the lie that my situation is hopeless. And I joyfully accept the truth that God has a way forward for me. So I choose to move forward with him. I am not alone. His hand is always on me. I am not predestined to fail. Success and overcoming, even amidst trials, is the new normal for me. In Christ I am strong. And it's written in Psalm 73, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. Can I just tell you how that declaration came about? So I was sitting in my back garden one day. I don't know how, but somehow I had a picture come into my mind of a little boy, probably about 4 years old, something like that. And he was walking hand in hand with his dad through a really, really busy indoor shopping mall. And the thing that struck me in this picture, which was quite vivid, was that the little boy's face was totally unconcerned, totally peaceful. He was just looking around, carefree at all the things all around him. But I knew that if he was to lose hold of his dad, that instantly he would be terrified, he'd be lost, he'd be petrified, because he wouldn't be able to see what was what. But his dad had hold of him, and his dad could see the way ahead. And I wondered, what was that all about? But then 2 days later, when I'd started almost to forget what had happened, I was back in the garden, and for some reason, something made me look up. I looked up in the sky, and there in the sky was a cloud, exactly the shape of a man's hand. I couldn't believe it. It was just like that. A palm, a thumb, and four fingers. And coming so soon after that other picture of the child with his dad, hand in hand, I wish I'd rushed inside and got my camera. But within 60 seconds, the wind at that height had just sort of like blown it all apart. But I just looked up at that moment, and I knew that God was saying to me that his hand was on my life. Even though at times it's not going to look like that all the time, it's not going to feel like that, but that was the truth. Now, knowing that, if you read the declaration again, I renounce the lie that my situation's hopeless. I joyfully accept the truth that God has a way forward for me. So I choose to move forward with him. I'm not alone. His hand is always on me. I'm not predestined to fail. Success and overcoming, even amidst trials, is the new normal for me. In Christ I am strong. And it's written, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. Yeah. Something powerful happens as you speak the truth over yourself. Even if you feel low and discouraged as you begin, somehow when your ears hear your own voice speaking the truth, faith ignites, hope rises up, chains begin to snap. This is powerful, and it brings release. By reading this declaration regularly every day, when I'm next discouraged or feeling lost, most likely, very soon I'm going to call this to mind, and I can choose to trust and believe. I can drive the 4x4 of my life out of the old rut into a new path, trusting and believing God's hand is on my life. It's important to say this morning. If ever you have a significant word from God, write it down. Some people keep a journal, however you want to do it. But if you receive a prophetic word, maybe at your baptism or during a ministry time, something you know is from God, like me and that picture in the cloud, write it down. Or trust me, you're going to forget it. If God speaks to you, it's important. He doesn't waste words. It's a key for you. It's part of his answer to your prayers to be free, to bear much fruit, to be like him. If it's a promise, learn it. Declare it. Make it part of your daily declarations. Renounce any lie that contradicts it. And remember, your ears need to hear the truth from your own lips. Here are two more interconnected lies and the declarations to go with them. I renounce the lie that I'm worthless and not worth loving. Jesus says in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And in verse 3, it says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I declare the truth that God considers me valuable. My life matters to him. My choices are important to him. My faith pleases him as I believe. I'm unique, irreplaceable, and worth dying for. In Christ, I'm secure, accepted, and significant. My life has meaning. I can and should love myself. I choose to love myself because He loves me. And I renounce the lie that it's only what I can do that makes me valuable. I joyfully declare that it's actually what I am that makes me valuable. I am made in the image of God, and I am a child of God. I do not serve in order to become secure, accepted, and significant. I serve because I'm already secure, accepted, and significant. You'll notice that some of these declarations end up quite long, and that's because they grew over time. That's one advantage of doing all this on a tablet, because you can quickly edit and add things in. So often, as part of my quiet time, I'd be declaring one of these things and talking to God about it, and I'd feel Him say something new, something extra, so I'd kind of add it in. And that they didn't start off long like this. It would just be the lie and then a short sentence, maybe a verse, the declaration of the truth. But over time, it seemed to sort of get bigger. Next one. I renounce the lie that I can expect only rejection and that I would be happier if I walk away and withdraw from people. Instead, I declare the truth that my comfort zone would turn out to be a prison cell. I'd only be bored, frustrated, and fearful. I will only find peace and real fulfillment as I walk with God and love and serve amongst God's people, knowing that my sense of affirmation doesn't come from people, but from the one who calls and sends me. And it's written in Hebrews chapter 10, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Each of us who belongs to Jesus needs to know that we belong in the family of the church. And if this here is where God is drawing you, you belong here. You don't have to earn your way in. The Lord of the church has invited you personally, and that's all you need to know that you are accepted, secure, and significant. And the thing is, if you don't become part, a real living part, of the church where God is drawing you to be, then the rest of the church is the poorer for it. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Next one. I renounce the lie that trials, temptations, discouragements, negative circumstances, or suffering mean that I am failing. Instead, I announce the truth that I'm living in a war zone. But because God is with me, I can be an overcomer as I face the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I can actually use these things to grow. I don't need to view the war zone with a victim mentality, but see it as an opportunity. Perseverance leads to maturity and godly character. It is written in 1 John 5, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Next one. I renounce the lie that I need to be in control of my own life. I wonder if that's something that you struggle with, you know? Wanting to stay in control of your life, even though you've said to Jesus, you be in control of my life. I think probably we've all been there. I renounce the lie that I need to be in control of my own life. It is written in Proverbs 3, trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. I declare the truth that I can surrender like clay to the potter. I choose to trust that God has my best interests at heart. I don't need to control other people or try to control the future. I only need to control myself. And as I trust Jesus with my life, then I will walk a good path, not a reckless path. I will end well. By the way, if any of these declarations are speaking to your heart this morning and you want to use them, then you'll find all of these slides on our website in a few days' time. So they'll be there for you to use if you want to. But actually, I think it'll be most liberating for you if you create your own declarations. The Holy Spirit will help you if you ask Him. Finally, this morning, I want to say something about cancer. You might know that both Gwyn and I have both each lost one parent to cancer. And that certainly produced in me the fear that this was how we would die too. You know, inherited genes and all that. And you know when a fear is unhealthy, when it begins to dominate your thinking. So every headache is probably a brain tumour. Every skin blemish is probably skin cancer. Every tummy ache is probably bowel cancer. God doesn't mean us to live under this dark cloud of worry. And I felt God help me to write this declaration. I renounce the fear that Gwyn and I will die from cancer. And I joyfully declare that our lives in this world will end when our Father in heaven, who loves us, decides it's time to welcome us home. We are new creations in Christ. We are not just the children of our earthly parents. We are the children of our heavenly Father. And Jesus said in Matthew 10, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Amen. I need to say, declaring this is not a guarantee that we won't get cancer. In fact, as most of you know, Gwyn has come through one lot of cancer treatment already. But it does mean we don't have to live our lives under a dark cloud of fear. Instead, we believe our lives are in God's hands, and so are the number of our days. Also, it doesn't mean that we could now ignore all healthy lifestyle advice. That would be stupid. So, by all means, take steps to reduce the risk of cancer or heart disease or diabetes or whatever your genes might predispose you to. But don't live in fear. Neuroplasticity, everybody say that after three. One, two, three. Neuroplasticity demonstrates that we can begin to forge new ways of thinking in our brains, and old ruts will begin to disintegrate through lack of use. Someone has said, if you don't renew your mind, your feelings will always take you back to what you've been released from. And that is very true. Back to the old ruts, back to those old roots, starting to strengthen and feeding in bad things again. So my testimony this morning is this. I have used these declarations. And at first, when you first start off, it seems that they're making no difference. But you need to persevere. Sometimes it takes days, weeks, or even months of declaring something every day, and finally you realize you've made a breakthrough. I realize now that I'm more free than I used to be. I'm more like Jesus now than I used to be. And this is a process, and it's a journey that we can all be on. So I finish this morning with this. Keep calm and renew your mind.